This has been one harsh winter, and a lot of us are not only looking forward to the warmth of spring, if it would ever arrive, but also that perhaps the cold and snowy conditions maybe somehow reduce the number of bugs that we'll have to encounter for the rest of the year. Let's go find out with Mike Raup. He's entomology professor at University of Maryland College Park. Hi there, professor.
Top of the morning, Joan and Mike. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great. What bugs you today?
Oh, what bugs me is that we were hoping that the polar vortex put the beat down on some of these bugs, and I would love to tell you that that was the case, but unfortunately, guys, I got some bad news for you here, I'm afraid, this morning. I think we're starting to see the appearance of black-legged ticks. That's not good news. And even though we had some optimistic information a little bit earlier in the season about maybe a reduction in stink bugs, I don't think that's uniformly the case. So why?
What happened that it didn't make the demise of these creatures?
Joan, these guys have been doing this thing for about 20 or 30 million years, so they're pretty good at handling these cold temperatures. They've seen this kind of stuff before. With glaciers and ice ages and stuff. So they're pretty well adapted to these kind of cold temperatures. And unfortunately, in some places, the temperatures simply didn't get cold enough. Ticks are particularly good at surviving cold temperatures. There is some good news here, though, I think. I think for gardeners, once we start to drop below that 10 degrees Fahrenheit, we've got a pretty nasty pest out there called the harlequin bug that attacks things like your kale and cabbage and radishes. We're pretty sure that one took it on the chin. And for folks that like to go hiking up in the Blue Ridge, there's a very nasty pest up there called the hemlock woolly adelgid. And we're reasonably sure that temperatures up and down the Appalachians this year were cold enough to put the beat down on that thing. So there is a bit of bright spot here.
Mike, what about the situation with getting rid of, the stink bugs and the ticks for a couple of reasons? One is your kids are out in the yard and you don't want them, getting tick bites or anything out in the yard. And then the bugs ultimately end up in your house.
Sure.
If you don't take care of them in the yard. So what do we do?
Sure, Mike. These are great questions. Now, with the tick situation, frankly, the important thing here, I think most people don't realize, the key feature in this whole tick Lyme disease situation is not so much the white-tailed deer, it's more the white-footed mouse. So if you can reduce habitat, that is places where rodents might hide, perhaps an old brush pile, a little weedy area at the edge of the property where your lawn meets the woods, get rid of that stuff. That'll reduce habitat for these white-footed mice, which are the key host for those very small ticks. That's the first thing they're going to want to feed on, and that's probably where they're going to be picking up the Lyme disease. So if you can get rid of that habitat, that'll reduce the population in these rodents and can help reduce the probability that those ticks are going to find food and pick up Lyme disease. Now, in terms of your stink bugs, unfortunately, they're already in your house, as you well know. They're walking around on my computer screen right now as we're speaking.
They come out of nowhere.
They're mystical. They're diabolically clever at getting inside of people's houses. So the best thing to do is anything that is good, Joan, for energy conservation, caulking, screening, putting new door sweeps on your doors, sealing up vents. This is going to prevent those little buggers from getting in the autumn, and this will reduce the population as the tide goes out in spring. As these guys are warming up, they're trying to get outside. So if you can keep them out in the first place, this is going to go a very long way to reducing that problem that we're facing right now as they try to get out.
Real quickly, can I ask you about bees?
We've been
seeing the number of bees go down, and that, of course, does affect our farming. In so many ways, it's important to us. Any idea whether this season could be better?
Yeah, I think we're concerned overall about pollinator health and decline. I don't think the polar vortex, the reports I'm getting from my research colleagues here, is that our honeybee hives have been able to survive the cold pretty well, too. They're pretty well adapted to this. And the PV didn't make a major dent in our honeybees, I don't think, but we do definitely have to be concerned about our native pollinators. Be very careful with the use of pesticides around the garden. Make sure that we're maintaining proper habitats for some of our solitary native bees, which are critically important in pollinating not only the native plants out there, but also many of our crops. So we do have to be concerned about our bees, but I don't think this winter put a particular beat down on those guys.
Mike, you're the best. Thanks so much.
Okay, guys.
Mike Raup, otherwise known as the Bug Guy from the University of Maryland College Park.